Father to joy. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come
alive. That's how I change my world. Take your seats. Like a room trampled on the ground,
you took the fall.
Give a clap offering unto the Lord. Oh Jesus, we give God all the praise. Give all the praise. Welcome to church. It's always a blessing to be in church. We want to move straight into the Word of God. Are we good to go? Hallelujah. As the custom is, we want to go straight into our anchor scriptures. And today, our first scripture will be the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It's been a central scripture we've been working around. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We can't talk about warfare without not building our whole engagement around this area. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Our last reading, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The epistles of Paul to his son Timothy, the chapter 1, verse 8. Said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Shall we read together? Because we always read together. Shall we take it? Let's go. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Hallelujah. Still in the school of warfare, as it pleased the Lord to still talk on the matter of we at war, and on our second sub-series, the School of Warfare, today we are taking lesson number 3. I'm going to do 5 lessons under the School of Warfare. So when I'm done, there are more we can do, but I think the 5 lessons is going to be enough. So we are on lesson number 3. And lesson number 3, our focus will be on weapons of our warfare. Weapons of what? Our warfare. The first lesson was on profiling, knowing who we are actually at war with, understanding the proxies and the true mastermind behind the warfare we are involved. The second one was the wiles and odds, the devices, to talk about the strategies, the schemes, the manner in which that warfare is carried out against us, and the purpose and the intent for which it is being carried out. I hope these 2 lessons have settled well with us, right? Now, we want to look at what we call the weapons of our warfare. Very important thing to know, because you'll find out that in the matter of warfare, when it comes to the wiles and the devices of the devil, there are 2 things that have been made as provision for the believer. And it is the weapons and the armor. Hallelujah. So now let's move into today's message. So as I said, the focus of lesson 2 was on identifying the wiles and devices of the devil. But the main question is, what do you do after you discover the wiles and the devices? The truth of the matter is that there can't be wiles without devices. So when you have discovered the wiles, surely you find the devices. And where there are devices, you are surely going to find out the wiles of the devil. But the question now is, when you have discovered the wiles and the devices, what do you do then? This is what today's lesson answers. When you have come into the discovery of wiles and devices, that is the strategies, the schemes, the plot, and whatever the devil wants to do to you, what becomes the response of the believer? The response of the believer is in how the believer is able to engage the armor and the weapons available to him. Hallelujah. So that's lesson three, or this lesson, which is our lesson number three, is to focus on dealing with wiles and devices. And this brings us to the knowledge of armors of weapons of the believer. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, our first reading, we see that he mentioned over there that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Is that so? And then in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, he said, know what? He mentioned about the armor. He said, put on the whole armor of what? Of God. So whenever we discover wiles and devices, we have to look at how to deal with them. And that brings us to the knowledge of what? Weapons and what? Armor. Can we move on? Now, before I move into this aspect of today, we are going to talk about weapons. But before we move into the aspect of weapons, there is one very truth that we need to establish. That is, weapons and armors are used interchangeably, mostly when it comes to matters of what? Warfare. Whenever we are talking about warfare, whether it is spiritual warfare, whatever warfare, you find out that the items listed as armors are also likely to be featured in the items listed as what? Weapons. It is always like that. And the reason being that certain items that can feature in the place of armor also have the characteristics to also feature in what? In the place of what? Weapon. So, even though it is the same item, depending on what you are doing at the particular time, it can be what? A weapon or what? An armor. Are you with me? So, we cannot confuse them at the item, but we have to look at what the items is being used for. So, when you have hold of some people can even use a shield. A shield can be used as defense. It can also be used as an attack. If you are interested in Asian movies and you have watched a lot of Asian movies, I don't know if you have watched Troy. You see, those kind of movies, they show you how some of these weapons, although a shield can be used for defense, sometimes they can also use it to what? Attack, to go out offensive. Hallelujah. So the fact that the item can feature as both a weapon and an armor does not mean that armor and weapons are the same. Armor and weapons are not the same, irrespective of whatever item that can play both roles. Are we on the same page? Therefore, it is very essential and important that whenever we are dealing with the issues of weapons and armor, we draw the distinction so that we don't get confused or held in the thought that an item that can feature as a weapon and as an armor makes weapon and armor the same thing. Hallelujah. Can we move on? So now let's take a general definition of what an armor is, and then we'll move into what? Weapons. Because today our focus is on what? On weapons. Today we're going to do a very short service. As usual, we're going to do a very short service. Hallelujah. I don't know why my church members are not believers. I said we will do a short service. Hallelujah. If you don't respond, I'll not close it. I said I'll do a short service. Hallelujah. Good. Right. Now, by general definition, an armor is what a soldier wears or carries to guard himself from attack. So whenever we mention an armor, we are talking about what a soldier puts on to guard him or herself against attack. Therefore, the purpose is to what? Shield. The purpose of an armor is to, number one, shield, cover, preserve, and keep the soldier out standing. So anything that you use as an armor, are you listening to me? Should be something that should be able to what? Shield you. You know that in our typical African house, home, okay, this hand is also out an armor. Is that not so? Woe betides you use it to shield a slap. They will gather the entire family, your grandfathers, and all to come and explain how you beat your mother. Oh, we have not ever heard those stories before.
want to give you some resetting, and then you raise your armor to shield yourself. It is defined as beating of your your mother. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yeah. So something that qualifies to be called an armor should have the characteristics of able to what? Shield you, able to what? Cover you, able to what? Preserve you, and able to keep you what? Standing. Hallelujah. So armor is primarily a defense tool that helps you to withstand, helps you to resist and survive what? Attacks. And that is what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 and 18 was talking about. So all that you see Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 was listing over there were to, number one, preserve, withstand, shield, resist attacks. That is why it is put on the whole world, armor of God. Are we on the same page? So when we start looking at the believer's armor, we are looking at things that is able to help the believer to what? To stand. Able to what? Resist. Able to what? Withstand. That is what armor is specifically what meant to be, a defensive what tool in the believer's what life. Hallelujah. However, our main focus, which is weapon, is a different thing altogether. Are we on the same page? Can we move on? Good. Now, when we talk about weapon, a weapon is used to fight back, confront, destroy, or overcome the enemy. So the same hand that we can use to block a slap, I'm just doing a practical example. I hope you are following me. Oh, haven't you blocked a slap before? You are good children, eh? Oh, so I'm the bad one. Thank you. Hallelujah. They are trying to say pastor was the only one who was stubborn when he was young. You know, when they send you to go and buy something, you forgot by playing football. When you come back, oh God, the Lord is our help. Football has put us into trouble. So you see that regarding weapon, the same hand that you use to shield, when the moment it becomes what you use to what? Fight back, use to what? Confront, overcome, prevail over someone, it doesn't become an armor anymore. At that moment, it becomes what? A weapon. Because weapons are for what? Direct engagement. So you see that weapons are primarily an offensive tool used to engage the enemy what? Directly. And you see that Apostle Paul, when he wanted to talk about weapons, he referred to them in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5. So he said that for the weapons of what? Our warfare are not carnal. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. So number one, he shows us what our weapons do. Even though he didn't mention the weapons, he gave us the picture of what our weapons do. We are going to look at it very well. Say that the weapons of the believer has the ability to what? To what? Cast out, cast down imagination, what? Do what? Pull down what? Strongholds, and is able to what? Put to captivity. So anytime the believer is coming into that kind of engagement, he is not doing any act of what? Standing. He is what? Directly what? Confronting, fighting back, prevailing over what? A demonic or what? A spiritual what? A fact. Are you on the same page? Now, why must the believer be an offensive in war, on warfare? If you look at these two things that I've presented on regarding the issues of wiles and devices, I said that the armor and then the what, weapon are what we use to what, confront these what, two situations. But we find out that armors are for defensive what, standings of the believer, whereas weapons are what, for what, offensive what, standings of the believer. Hallelujah. So now let's examine what then means that the believer is being what, offensive. Now, offensive stance of the believer is targeted towards the devices of the devil. The offensive stand of the believer is targeted towards what? The device or what? Of the devil. I'm going to make time to talk so much about that, but I just want to mention that to you. Now, if you look into the epistles, listen to me very well. The entire teachings on warfare from the book of Romans throughout is mostly centered on the defensive position of the believer. Follow me very well. So if you read the Bible very well, you see that the things like resist, watch out, do this, it's all talking about being what? Defensive. Able to what? Stand. Study the Bible very well throughout. That is what you see that So less is being said about what? The offensive what? Standings of the believer. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Good. So a careful study of the epistle concerning warfare majorly focuses on defensive structures of the believer in warfare, because we have more to defend than to be offensive to, according to what? Our position in Christ. The life of the believer is more defensive than offensive because of what? Our position in what? In Christ. Why? That is our position, which is our status in Christ as people seated with him far above principalities and powers, is our advantage of even being offensive. Now let me explain. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6 talks about where we are seated, who we are seated with, and where the person is seated. So let's look at it. Ephesians 2:6. I want to explain this. If you are really studying the concept of warfare, you will find out that the Bible talks more about the believer being defensive than offensive. Are you listening to me? So you must first of all build a believer in the aspect of being defensive. You will come to the aspect of the defensive when we are looking at the armors of the believer. But today I want to talk about the weapons of what? Our warfare. Now, in defensive, he's talking about our position. Now let's read about our position. And raised up together and made us sit together what? In the heavenly places in Christ what? Jesus. The Bible established that we are seated with the believer, with Christ, in where? Heavenly what? Places. Now, these heavenly places, what are some clarity that was given to it in regards to where Christ is seated? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's read it. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from what? The dead, and seated him at his what? Right hand in the what? Heavenly places. You see the heavenly places is mentioned here again. Now verse 21. Look at what the definition of the heavenly places. How to geographically locate it. Now if you want to find the heavenly places, it is not below principalities. Where is it located? Far above what? Principalities and what? Powers and what? Might and dominion and every name that is what? Named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to what? To come. So this is the coordinate of locating the heavenly places. If you don't know where heavenly places is, you put together this coordinate, you can locate heavenly places. So the heavenly places is a place that is not within, around, close, anywhere near what? Principalities. It's what? Far out above. Far out above. So the believer is seated at this place. This is where you are seated. Now, why do I say that the positioning of the believer makes him more defensive in his walk than being offensive? Here is it. Now, in the wisdom of warfare, okay, your position to engage is most important thing, because that is where the strength of your defense lies. Whenever you are in engaging somebody in warfare, the strength of what? Your defense, where it lies, is in where you locate yourself. That is why you see that most times when people want to come after people are in warfare, one of the key things that they do is to what? Locate themselves in a place as high, a high mountain, on top of the hills, right? Because when they are on top of you, they have a better out position. It will be very difficult for you to be able to what? Attack them, and it will also be very difficult for you to reach them in terms of the distance. But they can easily what? Attack you. Now, do you know why fighting Israel is one of the difficult things to do? Because Israel's position in warfare is always the airspace. Modern Israel will never fight you on the ground. They don't have that strength that much. So if you notice, most of their attacks is that they have what you call the iron rod. No, have you heard of that word? You can fire anything. That is their position. Whatever you fire at them, they'll capture it in the air. And when they come to air, how to deal with people in the airspace, they are number one. In a space of 4 hours, they took over a whole country's airspace. That's why you remember the recent war that happened between them and Iran. You see how they were eliminating the leaders of Iran. How were they able to locate them? The airspace. So if you want to defeat Israel, the modern Israel right now, you have to first of all know how to position yourself in the airspace. If you cannot position yourself in the airspace, they will overcome you. So in the wisdom of warfare, your positioning in engaging warfare is where your strength, your defense is. So if you are able to tear down the airspace of the modern Israel now, you can be able to attack them successfully. But if you cannot tear down their airspace, you have no place to stand against them. Are you on the same page? So the believer is at where? The heavenly places. Now watch. Where we are above them. That means that we have what? Air dominion. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. When you are coming to fight me and I'm in the flight, you are on the ground, and I'm shooting at you from who will be stronger? Because I can see you from all angle, and I can gauge any part of you. Hallelujah. You see, aerodynamics is stronger than gravity. Is that not so? Eh? If you want to target me in the air, you need the principle of aerodynamics to defeat what? Gravity, right? Okay. Am I being too scientific here? I'm talking about defensive attack or being in warfare. Now, you know that aerodynamics is stronger than gravity. That's why airplanes can be able to can fly. Is that not so? That anytime you want to target something in the air, you must be able to use the principle of aerodynamics to break through gravity so you can reach it. Is that not so? But if I am in the air and I'm coming here, what I need is that because aerodynamics is already stronger than gravity, I can easily fall on you. So it means that you need twice of your work or three times to be able to reach me with what I'll use against you. In other words, if somebody is fighting you from the space of the air, just one atomic bomb can level the entire... you don't know. Just one missile that will be dropped can do much damage that you will require 10,000 troops to do. So the Bible said that the believer is above them. It means that our place of oppression is above them. So we don't need much to do to deal with them. Do you get it? So the believer only needs to what? Be at his position whenever he wants to engage in warfare or when there is warfare, and then use his strength against you. The devil. Are you on the same page? Therefore, it is wise. Follow me very well. It is wise for every opponent against the other opponent in warfare to be able to determine how to dislodge a person from his position of what standing when we are in warfare. That is why the major focus of the devil is against the position of the believer where he's seated. Are we on the same page? That is why he targets your salvation. Because you see, where you seated, it is about where you are secured, your security, before you begin to defend yourself. Are you following me? So the life of the believer is mostly about defensive what? Mechanism. Because your position where you stand, all you need to do is to defend your position. You don't need to move. Mostly. And the devil needs to move you from that place, because if he's fighting you from a place, because he is below you, that's a disadvantage. It's just like playing a basketball. And imagine somebody like Elder AB playing a basketball with, who is the tallest person? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say here. The only way you can be able to win that match is to make sure that you make them fall. We have to do something to reduce them, not to be able to, else. So the devil is already at a disadvantage because of positioning. And the believer is already in an advantage place because of what? Positioning. So the devil is always looking for a way to dislodge you from your position so that he can be able to meet you or not. Face value. He will bring you to the level that we are all on the same place so that we can face ourselves, each other. So the believer is mostly about defensive, because your positioning is what? The whole thing. Now watch something here. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Watch something. Before Paul told us to put on the whole armor, what was the first thing he said? Ephesians 10. Finally, my brethren, what did he say? Be strong in what? In the Lord. Where is the believer? In what? The one said he has all translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the light of what? His marvelous son. So the believer is where? In the what? The Lord. Now, if you are weak over the target of the devil is to make sure that first of all you are weak in the Lord. You don't put on your armor first. You must first be what? Strong in the Lord. Then number two, in what? In the power. The place of where you can be able to attack. The strength, the power of God. So in the first strategy of defense, listen, you know, before even you put on the whole armor to defend yourself. Because the whole thing is about to withstand. That means defensive mechanisms. That also. So before the believer zooms into defensive, the first point of what? Work is what? Be strong in your place of positioning. And be strong in what can make you defend yourself. Before you even think of putting on what? Your defensive what? Uniform. So the life of the believer is mostly about being what? Defensive. However, there are aspects where the Bible requires the believer to go on or what? Offensive. In as much as most of the things that we do as believers is about taking our stand, defending our place, our status, where we are. Because it's that place that our spiritual blessing is. It is that place that everything is. So the believer, that's why when you are born again and you are not grounded, the new creation realities, you are not grounded in it, you are finished. The reason why we spend time to establish the believer in the new creation realities of who he is because when you know how to sit, you can be able to what? Defend. You can be able to do anything. However, there are instances in scriptures that the Bible instructs the believer to be what? Offensive. Or we have to be what? Offensive. Hallelujah. The believer being offensive simply means the believer enforces that which Christ has already done. And let's look at one of the things that Christ has done. Hello? When we say that believer is being offensive, what it means is that a believer enforces what Christ has already what? Done. 1 John 3:8. There are many things that Jesus came to accomplish. And it is expected of us to what? Enforce them. Anytime you step in to enforce what Christ has already done, it means that you are being what? Offensive. You are being what? Offensive. And one of the things that Christ has done is what? Here, let's read. What did he say? He who sinned is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Listen, he said, for this what? Purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he would do what? He might destroy the works of what? The devil. So when Jesus came on earth, one of the assignments he came to do, one of his works he came to accomplish was to destroy the works of what? The devil. So in our offensive position, we have to make sure that we continue in this what? In this work. So Jesus came to accomplish this work. Is that not so? Is that not so? Let's read John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do what? Also. What was the work he did in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? Yes. Oh, church, are you with me? What was the work that Jesus did in 1 John 3:8? He destroyed the works of what? The devil. Is that not so? That put the believer in this positioning that at every given instant, you must also do that work of what? Of Christ. That makes you what? Offensive. Why does that make you offensive? Because weapons are used in what? Destruction. So the moment you are engaging, you are going to destroy things, you are going to require what? Weapons also. And the moment you are using weapons, you are being what? Offensive. Are you on the same page now? Amen. Are we on the same page? Are you following me?
Good, good.
Now, when the Bible says that, let me give some clarity here. Now, when the Bible says that, you remember I said that the believer being offensive means that he's enforcing the work of Christ, right? And Jesus said that I have destroyed the works of what? Satan. So what does it mean that the believer is also destroying the work of Satan? Is it the same thing? Let's settle that argument before I move on to the next thing. Now, destroying Satan's work can be best presented in this way. Destroying Satan's work is just like what Christ did as destroying Satan's work is a legislation that has been passed. Do you know that when the legislation is passed, it comes to destroy things? Set things aside, destroy it. Is that not so? So if you are doing something, then a legislation is passed, that thing is destroyed. Now, when a legislation is passed, it is the duty of the citizens to make sure that that legislation is enforced by engaging every form of legal means necessary whenever that legislation or whatever the legislation was passed on is being used against them. What I'm saying, I don't know if you understand what I just said. Now, in the laws of this country, okay, give me one of the laws of these countries. Okay, what are the laws with somebody stealing your property or taking something that belongs to you? There's a law that is passed that should somebody take your property wrongfully, you can take the person to what? To court, assault, a criminal offense, and also, and demand a criminal penalty on the person, and also, it's a legislation. Where are our lawyers and our law students? Won't you help me? They're not helping me. Am I right? You pass out a criminal, you seek a criminal out. God. So if you are here and somebody steals your property or takes your property and you don't take the person on to seek the justice, is it the fault of the government? Means that criminal activity as stealing is abolished, is destroyed. Is that not so? By law, is that not so? But it must be enforced by the citizens taking it into action. So if you take somebody's property, the person can take you on and seek criminal jurisdiction against you. That is what we do as believers. So when we say that believer is being offensive and destroying the works of the devil, what it means that whenever the devil tries to bring back what God has already abolished, we take a stand against him, seeking judicial judgment, legal judgment against him, and enforce punishment thereof. So if Christ has abolished poverty, do you know that? Oh, you don't know? Oh, am I preaching to a wrong church? The Bible says he became poor that we might be what? Rich. So it means that poverty has been what? Abolished. Now it is our duty to be offensive. If you see the devil bringing the out aspect of poverty, that which has been abolished into your life, what then do you do? You take the matter up into the court of heaven before the judge, and then you prosecute the matter on the verdict of what Christ has done, which is the finished work. And when you secure the verdict, you demand that every punishment thereof that must be measured on what the person has done be done. That is what we say the believer is being what? Offensive. Sickness is being abolished, right? Oh, are you with me? Sickness is what? Abolished. Barrenness is what? Abolished. Oh, mention them. What are the things that have been abolished? The only way that you can be able to deal, because the thing is, you have to understand that we are still in the world, which is the territory of the devil. Hello? The Bible says, although we are in the world, we are not of the world. In the world means that we are still exposed to all the things that goes on in the world, including these things called sickness and attacks and all that the devil can do. Are we on the same page? So, but according to the things that has been done, we are not part to suffer it. So should by mistake the devil includes you because you belong to the natural bloodline, so they go and then they activate those things. Are you following me? A power in the house goes to sit down, activate attack on your fruitfulness, activate attack on the things that which the law has abolished, Christ has destroyed. And in that, so you have every right to go offensive. And the offensive here is that you will go into the legal engagement and then demand that this thing, according to the laws, I am not supposed to suffer it. So injustice has happened to me, and therefore you seek verdict. Now, when the verdict is passed, you also demand that what? The prosecution would enforce, the bailiff and whoever that will enforce the terms of what? The judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. And this is where the believer becomes what? Offensive. Now, what makes the believer offensive is that we have been given the authority to go very offensive. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So wherever you see certain things going place, that Christ has already destroyed. I follow me. When you see certain works at certain place that Christ has already destroyed, it is expected of you, the believer, to go offensive. Oh, are you with me? Behold, I give you the authority to trample upon what? Serpents and not scorpions, and over all power of what? The enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? This is talking about we enforcing the terms of what? The verdict. So when the verdict is passed, we then enforce it. You see, the devil will not stop making those silly things. You see, he's so legalistic that he will always want to find a legal way to include you in his activities, because you are in his what? His domain. The Bible said you are out in the world, but you are not of the world. So the devil will always be looking for ways and means to include you in the things he's doing. Hallelujah. But whenever he goes that way, we don't become defensive. That movement calls for what? A total offensive what? Move. We go fully. Go for our weapons. And then we make sure that he suffers what he has done, because Christ has already destroyed the works. His works have been what? So the devil has no right to lay hands on your body unless you give him the permission. Are we on the same page? The devil has no right to lay hands on your business unless you give him the permission. So if you have not permitted him and he lay hands, you have every right to go offensive. You have to deal with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So our third reading, which Apostle Paul told Timothy to wage warfare, was because of the call to offensive what posture of the believer. So Paul told Timothy, because of the prophecies, have you seen what he said? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, let's read it again. He said, because of the prophecies that has what? Gone ahead. Means that the blessings, the things that God has done in your life, you must wage the good warfare. The good warfare means that at every given instant, when the devil try to work against those things, it is a good time to what? Be offensive. Hallelujah. Your name is the highest. Your name. Your name. All and dominions.
All powers and possessions. Your name.
He said, wage a good warfare because of what? The prophecies. So if it's not because of the prophecies on him, that is likely to be what? Attacked. The devil would like to disarm him from what God has given him. So the believer must learn to what? Wage. Go into what? Warfare. Offensive. In what? That word, wage a good warfare, means that be offensive. Attack. To enforce that what Christ has already accomplished, because the works he has done, we also ought to do same, and our work is to continue to destroy the works of the devil. Are you on the same page? So that is why the believer must be what? Offensive. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when does the believer become offensive?
Hola, Branda Messiah.
I've told you why the believer must be offensive. That is number one. We are to continue in the works that Christ has done. Is that not so? And the work he has done is that he has already destroyed the all. So we are to enforce that work. So every believer here must be very offensive. But when do you become what? Offensive. You don't just get up and then you said what? You are attacking. You see, you don't just get up and attack people. You must have grounds to attack. Are you on the same page? So we want to look at things that makes the believer what? Offensive. Then we can know the weapons we what? So I want to talk about weapons, but I have to build your understanding on the concept of what offensive what warfare and when you must be what offensive. So you don't just get up and then you want to attack. you bind, you break, you lose, whatever thing. No, do you have grounds for which you have to be offensive? Because if you are also attacking without the right grounds, he can also send you to court. Haven't you seen people taking cases to court that they've lost? Many believers lose their case in court too. Oh, you don't know. The lawyer said, the devil is a very good. Yeah, he's very good in his job. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Now, the teachings of Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, did not only reveal what believers' weapons are used for, but also suggest when the believer must become offensive. Anytime you are reading that scripture, it is not only about revealing what the weapons accomplishes. Because when you read it, it tells you what the weapon accomplishes. Number one, pulling down what? Strongholds, casting down imagination, bringing to captivity. Is that also? But it also reveals when the believer must what? Go to what? Offensive attack. Hallelujah. Hence, the believer becomes offensive when there are things to cast down. The moment there are things which has read their head and they need to be cast down, you must be offensive. Now, what are those things? Or is it, I'm going to list them. So I'm going to explain what is cast down it means. But in the course of this lesson, we are going to see things that we are supposed to what? Cast down with the weapon. Are we on the same page? So what does it mean to cast down? To cast down means to overthrow or to bring low or to strip from exalted position hostile ideas and claims that have exalted themselves. This is where the believer overthrown. So there are things, there are ideas, there are things that can be happening, okay, that will want to make themselves a king in your life. So you can be there and then you are told that as for this paper, you will not pass. That is what? A thing to cast down. Oh, am I speaking to somebody here? You see, somebody will be writing exams and say, as for this paper. See, research is an evidence that there is something to cast down. Oh, you don't know, that's why you have to pray. If you write an exam and you fail, it's an evidence that something has exalted itself. He wants to make himself a king and rule over you. Frustrate your life. Now, what are the things in your life that wants to rule in your life? These are things that you always, like, things that you always want to attempt and will keep you in your corner. The moment you notice that, this is what, you have to overthrow it. So the believer goes offensive when there are things that have become hostile ideas, hostile things, who have come to occupy positions. So sometimes you can see that a demon can occupy a house, occupy a family, and is using somebody to destroy things. There was a testimony that he shared about one of our sisters in this ministry. That she went for a national service in a particular school. And in that school, there is a lady over there that they believe to be what, a very powerful witch. That teachers don't even touch her. She can misbehave anyhow, do anything, because if you are a teacher and you don't know and you touch her, the following day, she will touch you. So she became what? The queen controlling the place, ruling over the whole place. Now she saw that idea in the mind that she is untouchable. Then this sister of ours from this ministry went there. She misbehaved. And she grabbed her, gave her some good lashes. And all the teachers came and said, "Hey, you don't know the kind of idea we have over here. We don't touch this girl." And he said, "Why?" And they started reading her stories. Say, "Let her try her worst." She came back and begging madam. Since then, all the stupid things she used to do in the school, she was cast down. That was when the teachers realized that, so somebody is stronger than you. That idea died instantly because somebody went there and cast it down. I pray for you. See, there are certain things in your house, certain things in your family going on. It has become the idea. Everybody, as for here, nobody goes to investing. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May you go offensive. Nobody builds a house here. Nobody buys a car. It has become the idea. So once you are moving, when somebody even want to bless you, you can say, "Hey, I'll die. There's an idea that has been sown. At that moment, the believer is not to defend. You have to go haywire. Explosive. Cast down that idea. That is a whole. As for weed, yeah. Only drunkards that marry us. You don't know what I'm saying is true. There are some people, the kind of mindset that rules their house. They are being told that ask for you for a man to marry you, he has to what, sleep with you before you have to burn one before they will put a ring on your hand. So the moment she is growing up and this person comes and leave, the third person can say, Abi, the thing is this, so you let me give myself away so you can use me. You also want to play that song? Do you get it? Because it is the idea, it is the mindset that rules the house. So you see, the whole place, that is what they live by. But somebody must rise up and say, "Daddy, no, I'm not part of it. I am born again. My status has changed." The Bible said, if any man becomes a new creature, born again becomes a new creature, all things are what? You don't sign up to that contract. She was sharing a testimony, but she didn't know that she was fighting a warfare. Who works in the government sector? In a big government sector in your house? Nobody. Yes. She didn't know she was fighting a warfare. The prophecy went ahead so that she waged a good warfare. So when I called her and I told her that they'll retain you, it was a prophecy that has gone ahead of her and that she has to wage the warfare. Shall she prevail? Now see how things will happen. You have to cast things down. Yeah, there. That's why sometimes we call them the prophecy we give to you is because we want to call you to order. That there are things that have what are there that needs to be cast down. They have exalted themselves, they have become kings and queens in the house. And you know the funny thing? The moment one person brings it down, everybody passes through. Find out if nobody marries in the house, there's no good marriage. Let one person break through, cast that thing down, everybody will follow.
Orana Makasaya.
I see things falling right now. I see things being brought low. I don't know whatever has exalted itself in your household, in your life, in the king ruling over your life. I said it's coming down right now. We are casting them down right now in the name of Jesus. Number two, things to pull down. The believer go offensive when there are things to pull down. So the things we cast down are things who have exalted themselves as kings, thrones. They rule. They want to control. They control you. By default, you take note. You see, there are certain things. By default, you just react. Some of you, when they post you to voter region, you not go. I cast out that idea in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you on all authority. Now, should some Christian get a big contract in Nongokpo? It's a town. It's not a shrine. It's a town. Should they get a big contract that can pay them 30,000 cedis a month? They'll decline. Say, me, Nongokpo. You see how it has an idea has been thrown? But you don't know that you are seated far above. You don't know you are seated far above Nongokpo. I said you are seated far out. There is no place you can't conquer. If you understand what I'm saying right now, there's no place. So when that idea hits you, ask for you this one, then you say, laugh. I say, he wants to be king. I'll bring you down. Because you have no place to exalt yourself above what? The mind of Christ. Pull down. Things to pull down. The believer must be offensive when there are things to pull down. To pull down means to bring down a fortified structure or something entrenched, established, and resistant. We call them strongholds. You know, when the devil raised an idea who becomes a king, do you know that it builds a stronghold around it? Fortification. That uncle that tells you that you will not marry. He's not just talking, though. There's a stronghold backing it. Yes. The moment you see that Something that is so powerful in the house. Nobody, that you have to find a stronghold. A stronghold is a fortified position, an entrenched pattern of thought. It's a stronghold. So everybody think the same way. Let me give you a typical example. Oh, ADN and diabetes for. Oh, as for this, as we all suffer eye issues. Glaucoma is our portion. You see, you grow and indirectly that becomes your confession. It's a stronghold. Oh, as for we, oh, that is how things happen. It's a stronghold. What are the things you have been confessing? When we are growing up, if you belong to that class of family I come from, when you are going to school, what are the advice they give you? Abi, you know that we are hot.
Poor.
So don't go and make friends with what? Find your class. You see, that is why some of you, there are certain events you can't even go. Because you think it doesn't belong to you. Also, if we make it free, they will not even go. Because they have been told that the stronghold in their mind, the stronghold that has been fortified, the pattern in their mind, is that ask for them because they belong to this particular class of people. They can't. You know that there are some people here, even though they desire to see certain things, but do not attempt it because they are told that they cannot ever be that. You are passing by NPA, passing by whatever. You have never had the boldness to ever apply because you said in your mind the stronghold is that it is only the politicians and the rich people who work there. I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus. You pass by airport, you pass by all these big places, you have never been bold enough to know that you also belong there. I'm dealing with strongholds today. This is where we have to go offensive. What are that old mountain before Zerubbabel? Am I ministering to somebody? You are running business and you are being told, as for you cannot sell at East Legon. The rich people, they will not buy your stuff. They have a class of people that they buy from. As for you cannot do this. I said, that devil is a bastard. That thought is, that's what a stronghold is. So the moment you see that kind of thing happening to you, these things I'm saying, they are true. Am I lying? How many of you have ever written a letter to apply to NPA? You pass by it every day at June, don't you? How many of you have ever dared to write a letter to be employed at Parliament House? You have come to believe and accept that that place is for the politicians, the rich people. I want to ask, who has the better connection than God? Oh, you don't know. Please, did you pay anybody to get the job? Do you have to do something to get the job? So how did it happen? She went for interview. No, I don't know. Some of these things you have to follow. It should tell you that if God says yes, nobody can say no. So be bold to dare. The reason why you're not daring big things is because there's a stronghold. Some of you have said that to yourself that PhD is for the rich people. Some of you are seated here. You are even advising your kid brothers and sisters that don't attempt medicine even if they get 6 A's. I said, I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus. When you see those things, it calls for what? Offensive attack. There are some of you here, there's this belief that you cannot buy land in East Legon. Oh, you can't travel to Dubai for a vacation. Am I dealing with strongholds? Oh, let's close. They don't like the message. But the Bible says God gave the people of Israel a land full of milk and honey, the best part of the land. Why wouldn't God give you the best part of Ghana? Where are the best parts of Ghana? So if God can give the people of Israel the best part of the land, why not you? But strongholds are holding you standing, thinking that as for you, it will never happen to you. I said you are breaking out of that stronghold. Some of you, you don't even believe that you can step your feet in America. You see, this is the kind of stronghold that makes us Africans, when we see the white people, we lose ourselves. Because the stronghold has been so entrenched in us that when we say, we think that they are better people than us, they are smarter than us, they are wiser than us. So we they said before them we were like grasshoppers. It's a stronghold, fortified, entrenched. But I said we will pull it down. I said we are pulling it down. Stronghold. Everybody in your house must always is always in the hospital. So you, the men's manager, see, some people are so used to that hospital is their friend. Swatting, they are going to the hospital. I'm not saying going to the hospital is wrong, but when you have come to accept that, as for you, that is where you belong. Now you have become a spaceman. Every day they are drawing blood from you. They are using you for all kinds of tests and rituals. Why? Some of you, if you check your body, the number of needles we can count. Because you are told that's what that's how small thing you are going to do that. I say be delivered from that stronghold. So therefore, to pull down is to what? Tear down, demolish, dismantle, bring a fortified thing to ruin, or destroy its defensive what? Hold. So God said to what? Jeremiah, I've put my words in your mouth. Now you'll be able to what? Pull down. The word of God is in your mouth to do what? Pull down. I said the word of God is in your mouth to do what? I want to hear it loud. I said the word of God is in your mouth to do what? Third one. The third thing that shows that you have to go offensive, you have to engage the weapons of your warfare, is when there are things to root out. There are things to what? To root out. This is an act of dismantling or eviction. That is, root out suggests that, listen to me, you see, there are things we pull down. They are fortified structures, okay? They are there. But when we talk about root out, these are things that we evict once and for all. Eviction, total. You don't come back again. And there are certain things you have to evict them. Things that have become things that are identified with your family, you evict it completely. So when we say we root out, what we mean is that we remove from what? The root. The Bible said, any seed that is not planted by us, by the Lord, an axe shall be laid to what? The root. So the believer must always go and target the root cause of things. You must always look for things to root out in your house. Root out the weeds. Root out the things that God has not planted. Simple. Anything that God has not planted, you need to root it out. You have to go offensive. So if God has not planted this, why do you keep it? So when we are going offensive, when we are being offensive, because there are things we have to what? Root out. When you become born again, that's automatically evil. When you had ulcer before becoming a Christian, the ulcer will still be there if you don't root it out. Are we on the same page? Amen. Oh, am I preaching good to you? Number two, to root out means to dislodge the foundation. Foundations. See, there are things that your forefathers and fathers' fathers have laid. They are there, foundations. Many of the things that we struggle in our life, they have strong foundations. You must go offensive. So you see that this thing I'm talking about today, you can see mostly rooted in what? Resolving spiritual conflict. Have you seen it? Because there are things to root out. Dislodge the foundation. Some of you, your foundation was built. You see, when you were born, they put you on some... You don't know what your foundation, your life started with. You don't know the things they did before you started life. Do you know? Some of you, they mark on you. Eh? Do you know what was done? Do you know what it meant? Your life... Some of you, the food you even ate. You don't know the things your parents did, people did for you to be able to what? Go through certain things. Some of your foundations were laid when people were cheated and they cursed your father. That's how you had the school to go. You don't know. So we have to find the root. There are certain things that we don't know how our life. Some of we don't know how our life started. The found. Do you know how many of you know how your life started? Do you know how you entered into the school for the first time? Do you know the things that were done for you to be where you are? So certain foundations were laid not on Christ. Your foundations were not laid on Christ. So you see, because and the source of the foundation begin to fight you. Some of you, your mother has to snatch somebody's husband to give birth to you. Look at how you started. You are not at fault, though, but that is how your life started. See, some of these things, you can take them lightly, but they are not jokes. Some of you were born, some of us, maybe your parents were not married before they did the thing, and then the thing became the thing. Hallelujah. And we all know what can happen with sex outside marriage. Is that not so? Who supervised that operation when it was going on between your father and your mother when they were not married? Who was the supervisor? It could be the altars of your house who were being there taking records of every act that was going on, and they saw that you were coming, so they, oh, this one, it was done in our presence, it belongs to us. That's your foundation. We need to root it out. Our life cannot be determined from that foundation. So God said, come out from your father. He said, be separated. Come out of. That's why sometimes God will relocate some of you. The relocation is just to uproot you from the foundation, dislodge you from that foundation. There are some of you, where you are, if we don't take you from there, you will never make it. Oh, it's true. So God can move you from Ghana to India. All because he's dislodging foundation. So that he will put you on a foundation over there. You say, when you go there, there's a proper foundation that has been laid there for you. Then you on that foundation, you are able to what? To build. Some people's life become peaceful when they marry. Because they have moved from their father's house where the foundation is fighting to a new foundation. So to root out means to dislodge from it what? It's what? Foundation. I said I'll close on time. Let me hurry up so that my church members will believe me. Number three, to root out means to terminate its right to what? To remain. When you are 18 years and above, anything that your parents have done that you don't like, you must terminate it, because those things form part of your foundation. So if they give you a name and you find out that where the name is coming from and who carried that name and what that name stands for is not from a good source, you must, by the strength of scriptures, go offensive and uproot it by terminating what? Everything connecting to that name. Yes, you have to. You have to determine whether it will remain or not. So there are certain things in your life, because you are quiet, it will continue, because silence means what? Consent. To root out, finally, is to overturn what has been what? Established. So when something has been established, and that is how everybody there, that's how you can say minus me. Yes. Can happen to everybody. Do you know why you make those kind of to me, there's an exception. I cannot be part of this. We are not saying so because we feel like saying, because there are things that we are not part of. We have to uproot them. So if everybody will fail in the house, not me, I'm not part. If everybody will fail in class, yes. I've shared this story before, that one teacher walked to our class in university, that a colleague of us came to threaten his son that he'll beat the son, so he'll show us Pepe. I said I'm not part of it. In fact, I didn't threaten his son, so you can't add me to that. A lot of people failed. I had B. I was not part of it. I never had, no. I'm not sharing that. Some of you, another man's, if you don't take care, you'll share in it. Another man's error, you can share in it. Hallelujah. Finally, two more, then we are done. Things to what? Bring into captivity. The moment they see that there are things that has to go into captivity, you need to go offensive. To bring into captivity means to what? Capture, subdue, lead away as prisoner under one's authority. Therefore, to bring into captivity means to seize it, to arrest it, bring it under control, make it submit, no longer allow to roam free in rebellion. There are certain things that goes on around you in your life, in a place, that by the verdict of what? The things that Christ has done, you should be able, the finished works, you should be able to what? Arrest it. You have to arrest it. Bring it under control. Seize it. Hey, you, that nonsense, stop. You can't do it again. You demarcate. See, it's not everything that you can stop in the family, but you can draw where they can operate. Oh, as for this foolishness, you can carry it here, but this place, you can't. That's bringing it under captivity. You are in a territory, you are in a place. Everybody's child, everybody's going haywire. You can just say that. You see, that spirit of foolishness. This is your border. You don't enter my house. There will be light in Goshen, whilst Egypt remains what? Dark. So the principle of bringing captivity is that you refrain it from roaming. It's not everything that you can stop, but there are certain things you can check them out. Say, no, yeah, you can't cross this border. They'll respect it because you have what it takes to bring restraint. Put it under captivity. Restrain them. A restraining order. I restrain you from trespassing here. So everybody's business can be attacked. You say, no, I restrain you from getting here. I'm not part of it. Hallelujah. Finally, the things to tread upon. When you see there are things or areas to tread upon, you have to go offensive. Now, to tread upon is connected to kingdom advancement. So whenever the believer is advancing the purposes of God and demonic resistance show up, the believer must what? Tread what? Upon. Therefore, to tread upon is by exercising Christ-given authority over satanic opposition, demonic activity, and power of the enemy, especially in context of kingdom what? Assignment. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we tread upon to advance, to preach the gospel. You have to tread upon. You have to go offensive. Are you with me? So, if you can be able to establish the will of God in a place, one of the things you have to do is to tread upon. Exercise authority that is given to us in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to mention the weapons of the believer. So far, I've discovered 7. Then we will close. I'm not going to explain it because that will be for the next meeting. So the next meeting is how we use the weapons and what we use the weapons what on. So for each of the weapons, I'm going to show you what we are going to, it is capable of what? Dealing with. Whether it can pull down stronghold, whether it can uproot. Are you following me? Whether it casts down, whatever it does, we are going to see. The first weapon is the weapon of truth. So the weapon of our warfare, the first one is the weapon of what? Truth. John 8 verse 31 to 32. The weapon of truth. We're going to pray some prayer 5 minutes. I said strongholds will leave people today. No shadow you, mountains you, coming after me.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Coming after me. Second one, weapon of faith. 1 John 5 verse 4. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you are in my word, you are in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. Then he continued, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Shall be free from strongholds. Let's move on. Number 2, weapons of faith. Weapon of faith. Faith is a weapon. It can also be an armor. 1 John chapter 5 verse what? 4 said you have overcome by your faith. Please, can you hurry up the projection? For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome what? The world. What did he say? Our heart? Faith. So faith is a weapon you can use to overcome. Prevail. Third one, weapon of prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Praying all kinds of prayers in the heart, in the spirit. So prayer is what? A weapon. So the weapon that Apostle Paul was mentioned over there, these are them. He didn't list them there. But if you study scriptures, you're going to see. There are 7 of them I've seen so far. Now, the third one is the word of God.
Fourth one, right, is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of what? The Spirit. It's a weapon. The word of God. And we look at them, don't worry. The fifth one is the blood of Christ. One very offensive weapon. And that's what we take communion, we do that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why when we take communion, we ought, we do that. We dislodge things with the blood. I don't you do that? We take covering under the blood and also dislodge things. Hallelujah. The set one is the weapon of testimony. So the blood is Revelation 12:11. Then he overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and the testimony and their testimony. So Revelation 12:11, sorry, is for both the testimony and the blood. The last one is the weapon of righteousness. Romans chapter 5:1. Righteousness is a weapon. He said that when all your obedience is what? Is fulfilled, he shall punish all. Take me to that scripture. That is the weapon of righteousness. Alignment. Obedience means you are aligned. I don't know if you know that. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. What I just quoted. You can add it to the weapon of righteousness. When all obedience is what? Is fulfilled, he will punish all. Sometimes if you want God to deal with certain forces, you just have to obey. Just be in alignment. And you see how God will deal with them. And being ready to punish all disobedience. Have you seen it? When your obedience is what? Is fulfilled. The obedience fulfilled is being in alignment. Being in what? Alignment. People of God, this is the weapons of our warfare. And in lesson number 3, as I said, the weapons, we are dealing with the devices of what? The devil. With this understanding, you should be able to know the things you should be able to uproot. I want us to lift up our voice and pray. Ask God, what are the things that I need to pull down? What are the things that I need to cast out? Cast down. What are the things that I need to what? Root out. What are the things that I need to tread upon? Lord, open my eyes to them right now. The strongholds, the ideas, things that I need to bring to captivity. Oh Lord, Rabrano Moko Shalabasaya. Lift up your voice and pray. Kadila Brasaya. For the weapons of our welfare are not carnal, but they are mighty true God. They are mighty true God. Mamro Sheka Brasaya. Ombrano Sende Kaleve Brasaya. Oh Radaba Basata Kande. Oh, lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Tell God that everything that needs to be dislodged, any foundation, anything that, any, God, help me, open my eyes, that I can appropriate your weapons against them. Kadolo Monvolo Moko Sila Brandesaya. Oh, Rameme Sunda Brekabaya. Moshende Kobrasaya. Oh, Rababa Nolo Moko Sila Braseya. Finally, we are praying this prayer. That may we be strengthened in the Lord. Say, be strong in the Lord. May we be strengthened in the Lord to be very offensive. Lift up your voice and pray. The Lord is bringing to mind things that people have to start to be offensive against right now.
Captain of Israel's and God of all who see the land of God beneath the shadows we abide the cloud of thy protecting love,
our strength,
thy grace, our rule.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thy word.
We give you all the praise.
The glory of the Lord.
The strength of the Lord is being released to you.
Our strength. Our strength.
The strength to prevail in war. I see things being picked up from a nursery bed right now. And the Lord said he's uprooting things that has been foundational issues right now. The Lord is working on people's foundation right now. Anything that the Lord has not sown on that nursery bed, he's uprooting it. The Lord is uprooting it. Oh, Jesus. Things are being brought low. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.